You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
And hello, good afternoon, and welcome to another stellar edition of The Drive on Fan Run Radio. It is Overreaction Monday, presented by The Phone Exchange. I'm Russell Smith with Trey Wallace, Ed Bear. Good afternoon. Hope you're doing well. Thanks for tuning into the show as just another day in the soap opera that is University of Tennessee Athletics. Bear, good afternoon. How you doing? Can we punch Bear in here? Minor details. Drew trying to act all cool, showing the new guy like what to do.
Amateur hour over here.
Completely neglecting his own responsibilities.
Drew, do not disappoint me.
Okay? Unbelievable.
Please get this guy trained.
Unbelievable.
Russell, I'm doing pretty good all considering.
Yeah.
I was a little late getting here. I'm lighting candles for the basketball program. Rick Barnes specifically.
He's not a young man anymore. He's 66 years old.
No, but you know what? He is probably, he's incredibly physically fit.
You know, Fulmer's 70, and, you know, they're both former athletes. You know, obviously Coach Fulmer's a bigger man, but he is still asymptomatic as far as we know. I haven't heard anything different, and we don't know anything about Rick Barnes. If you're joining us, by the way, the big headline today, UT basketball suspending operations as several, it sounds like, people have tested positive within the basketball program, including Rick Barnes. Trey, first of all, good afternoon, sir. We welcome Trey Wallace to the festivities. Trey, what else do you know, man? What's breaking?
Hey, guys, how are y'all?
Doing well, thanks.
So they get their results back kind of like the football team does. Football team has to go in Sunday mornings, get their testing done. All the athletics usually like to try to get that done around the same time. So they got their – I don't know the exact time, but they got their results back this morning and started trying to figure out who, you know, needs to quarantine – start doing the contact tracing part of it. Bear would probably have a better, since he's a doctor, a better maybe understanding of, since they're on the court, they're practicing together, you know, even though you might have maybe two positives, the problem is they've been grinding up on each other, you know, and hooping, you know, for the last so on. So contact tracing, I would imagine, and this is just, I hate to throw out guesses, but if you're contact tracing, and if there's players involved or even a coach involved or anything like that, you know, I highly doubt they're playing this week, and I would highly doubt they'd play next week, right?
No, I mean, Barnes is quarantined for 2 weeks, isn't he?
Yes, but these – right, yeah, but you have to understand the reading, and I'm not just talking about Rick Barnes. The reading of it says that there are multiple positive COVID test results among Tier 1 personnel, which consist of coaches, athletes, managers, and support staff.
Could we conceivably, like, and I know it sounds like there's an outbreak with multiple people testing positive and contact tracing and all that stuff, but just like looking further down the road, or just hypothetically, if Rick Barnes had tested positive and he was the only one, and they tested again today and again tomorrow, could they come in here and play? Would we consider playing without coach and just let Mike Schwartz
Kim
coach
English
the team?
Somebody?
Yeah.
Yeah. I would think they would, if they knew that they didn't have any player or anything else positive yet, then maybe that's the case. Now, here's another thing, too. Let's not forget this. You remember 3 weeks ago, Tennessee football had 12 false positives on a Sunday. That's why they are retesting today, and we'll have an update tomorrow on the Volunteer Classic. But I think Tennessee's figured out the kinks in that false positive stuff that happened with a lab. So call me skeptical. I think they'll test positive again for it.
Okay. And apparently there's some concern in the football program that contact tracing is rearing its ugly head again. Yep. And I don't know if it's to the point where the game against Vanderbilt is in jeopardy at this point, Trey, but that is – I mean, it's just – it's.
They'd have to I'm not going to give out numbers or speculation. The university hasn't commented on it yet. But I will say that, yeah, there could be a situation, you know, possibly if everything comes back again, you know, and they have to contact trace, Tennessee could be missing some players.
Yeah, we might be shutting down the whole athletics department for the next week or two.
That's why I'm interested to see if anything else comes out, like, I don't know, like women's basketball or baseball, because I got a couple texts this morning from folks, you know, football and basketball, talking about some contact tracing. And, you know, it's hard to get two sports like that together and have the same thing going on is kind of what I'm getting at.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a real mess. I mean, this is what everybody was afraid
of. It's in the complex is what you're saying. That's just sitting here listening to you guys talk back and forth. It sounds like it's in the complex over there. We're talking multiple sports now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. And I'm not the one that – Russell, we're not going to put, like, dots together here, Bear, you know, but Philip Fulmer's diagnosed with it. Okay, what happens 3 days later? Rick Barnes is positive with it and others. I'm not saying they're connected by any – I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, yeah, Bear, I would agree that maybe there's a little something going on over there.
We'll know a lot more here in the next 24, 48 hours. It's going to – I'd say there's going to be some news on both of these games. So, anyway, I mean, that's what Tennessee's dealing with, and we haven't even begun to talk about what we saw Saturday night down at Auburn, which obviously if you want a brief recap or a 4.5-hour recap, go back and find the voluntary reaction presented by Terrapin Beer Company from Saturday night. Now, I got to say, Bear, you know, your friends will tell you, your close friends will tell you when it's – I don't even know if I should say this, but so
say it.
Our new guy, Adam, comes in, and we were chatting before the show, and he said, yeah, I loved Voluntary Reaction Saturday night. It was really good. I said, oh, thanks. Because I had one of my good friends I've known for a long time over yesterday at the house. We were just sitting out on the patio drinking beers, and he said, man, the show was really boring last night. I was like, thanks. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. And he's like,
now
don't
do what?
And I said,
our new intern said our show was boring.
No.
Oh, my Lord.
Just a friend of mine said that. and he said, well, don't get me wrong. Like, you weren't boring. It's just Tennessee football has become boring, and just everything about it is boring right now. So.
Oh, yeah. He was 100% telling the truth. Mm-hmm. That's how I kind of felt Saturday night during the show.
People are just tired and exhausted of
we're irrelevant. We're apathetic. There is a ton of extremely stressful stuff that we have to deal with right now. Just being alive on planet Earth, that I don't have the energy to get upset anymore. I mean, if they don't take it serious, I'm not going to either. I'm really looking forward to it, and I hope we get through this deal with the COVID, with the basketball team, because I feel like that's coaches and athletes are all working hard, and I'm going to show my appreciation of their hard work.
I mean, how ironic would it be if we've kind of been building to this moment, Trey, you said it, other people have said it, and it seems to be the popular opinion is that, you know, the must-win game term gets thrown around way too much in sports. And I'll freely admit to being a part of that particular problem. But this game against Vanderbilt is really – I'm not saying if he lost it, he would be fired immediately or even after the season. But it's definitely on the table at that point. You lose to Vanderbilt on the road. You go 2-8 on the season. I know it's COVID. I know it's crazy. We all know the deal here. but you can't do that. And, yeah, we would all want him fired at that point. Most of us want him fired anyway. But, like, it gets real with the loss to Vanderbilt. And wouldn't it just be par for the course in 2020 if this game is somehow canceled? And I don't know, do you even make it up? Do you play the game after the championship?
They're our oldest rival, Russ. Yes, you absolutely have to play this game this year.
You would think
so. I've already thought about that.
You would think so, but we're already scheduled to play Texas A&M on the off week.
Who cares?
I guess we could play them on the day of the championship.
Yeah.
But here's
why don't we play them on the last game of the year like we used to?
But here's the thing.
Play them on the 19th.
Here's the thing, guys. They're still not having any fans at all in the stadium, are they?
Vanderbilt?
Only up to 500. They're giving Tennessee 500 tickets just for family.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's like a just straight rec league over there. I mean, it's moms and dads.
Well, my point is
brothers and sisters.
The reason that everybody says, well, we have to play the Texas A&M game is because Tennessee's counting on selling 25,000 tickets for that game and people going over there and buying Cokes and beers and whatnot. And, like, in a season where revenue is critical, you have to have every last penny you have. That's why they have to play the game. I don't know if it's that important for Vanderbilt because, A, it's a private school and they've got more money than they ever possibly know what to do with over there. And then B, it's not that important to them. So I don't know that the urgency they feel to have that game from a financial standpoint matches with the urgency that, say, Tennessee has to host the Texas A&M game. And if
then
they don't –
throw them out of the SEC.
I'm sorry?
Throw them out of the SEC. They have to play
this
game.
That's not going to
happen. They're in the SEC. They're our oldest rival.
So
let's not get out of this.
You just want to why do you want to play this game so badly, Bear?
Because if he can't beat Vanderbilt this year, he needs to be gone. It's a measuring stick game. You're not going to play the arm. You know
think
what I mean?
About what
I mean,
you just said.
I'm sorry.
That is so sad. It's a measuring stick game.
Yeah, I mean it's the one fail-safe way we can know if you're going to make it here. If you can't lose Kentucky and Vanderbilt. I've said it for years, Russ. It should be written in these chumps contracts.
Losing those games is a fireable offense.
If you lose, yes. And if you, and I've been serious about it. You've always thought I was kidding. I wasn't.
I've never
you
thought
lose
you
to Kentucky
kidding.
And Vanderbilt in the same season.
Has that ever happened? Did we do that in? What was the last time we lost to Kentucky? Was
that
2017?
I don't know. I mean, if it hasn't, I guarantee you this chump's going
to
do it.
2017, we lost to Kentucky and Vanderbilt.
Wait, no, Chaney won one of those games at the end, though.
Chaney beat Vanderbilt.
He beat Vanderbilt.
What was Chaney's
win? Chaney beat Kentucky in 2012.
In 2012?
Oh, right. Okay.
Dooley's last game was Vanderbilt, and we got well.
We've never lost to Kentucky and Vanderbilt in the same – no, we did in 2017. Okay.
Yeah, our other worst year in the past 120, but they have to play that game. If you don't play that game, then, I mean, what the hell are we doing?
Folks, today's show is brought to you by the Phone Exchange. For 9 years now, the easiest place in Knoxville to buy, sell, or trade pre-owned phones and tablets. There's never been a better time to sell your devices. Because of COVID and the supply shortages that it's caused, they've never paid more for phones than they do now at the Phone Exchange. So, don't trade your phone in with your carrier. I know a lot of folks are upgrading phones this week. Do yourself a favor and take your device up to the Phone Exchange on top of Bearden Hill and let their friendly local staff pay you a fair value for your phone or tablet. Be sure to let them know you heard us talking about it right here on Fan Run Radio. It's the Phone Exchange on top of Bearden Hill, Kingston Pike, right next to Soccer Taco across the street from Bonefish and Zoe's. You can't miss it. The Phone Exchange. Overreaction Monday.
Breaking news. I'm sorry.
All right, hold that thought, Trey. We'll come right to you after the break. It is The Drive on Fan Run Radio. Back with more right after this.
The Drive.
The Rocky Top Report brought to you by the Craigner Group. They do real estate the right way. It's a final now. After consultation with the Knox County Health Department, Tennessee has canceled its games against Charlotte and VCU scheduled for Wednesday and Friday due to the COVID-19 contact tracing. Earlier today, Tennessee paused all team activities following multiple COVID-19 test results among its Tier 1 personnel, which consists of coaches, student-athletes, team managers, and support staff. Positive tests were detected during the routine COVID surveillance testing, which is conducted 3 times a week in accordance with NCAA and SEC guidelines. So the basketball program is following SEC, local, and university public health guidelines. And Charlotte and VCU have also mutually agreed to cancel their game that was scheduled for Thursday at Thompson Bowling. Tennessee's participation in next week's Jimmy V Classic in Indianapolis has not been ruled out at this point as a projective activity resumption date for the Volunteers will be determined following further monitoring. But, boy, you gotta wonder. Your head coach has COVID. Multiple guys are people in your program. I mean, the coaching staff, I'm guessing, has been around Coach Barnes. I'm guessing there's some contact tracing issues there. You gotta wonder if we're going to be able to play the Gonzaga game as well.
I'm not a doctor, but
it's up in the air.
You can't play Wednesday. You can't play Friday. If some of these folks have to contact race 14, I don't see how it happens, but whatever. I mean, the soonest they could get back to practice, and if they paused, it would be next Monday, right? I mean, I don't know.
It would be, I mean, if they're strict on the 2 weeks, I mean, it'd be
2 weeks from today.
Yeah. So what would that be? That would be December.
Let's go to December 3rd. Yeah. So it's going to be, man, it just, of course, we have the most anticipated basketball season ever. Of course it's going to be a complete and total train wreck. Of course. I don't know, maybe they just have to wipe out. You listen to these experts, they're saying don't go to Thanksgiving, don't do this, the hospitals are filling up. Guys, I don't want to be alarmist here, but they're going to have a lot of trouble playing this year, I'm afraid. A lot of trouble.
A lot. Yes, a lot.
Like, I wonder if, I can't believe I'm saying this considering who the source is, Rick Pitino, the idea that he's kind of floated, honestly, probably would make the best sense right now.
He said basically just play conference only starting in January.
Starting in January, basically all the kids had been sent home at Thanksgiving because they knew that just because of the weather, that this was going to be a really rough spot in dealing with the virus until they get the vaccine out.
I'm just wondering.
November into December.
I was banging the do a bubble drum all summer long. You know, just use the dorms as a bubble, and you know they've been able to pull it off pretty well without doing that. But I just if you're Greg Sankey in the SEC and you go to these players and these teams and say, look, pretty much everybody has, and you can basically turn your arena / practice facilities into their own little bubbles and just put guys in there and camp out and bake s'mores and watch movies. And, yeah, they'll be bored, and it's a terrible experience, but this might be
– in some ways. The only other ways it might.
Bring them closer together.
Yeah.
And you hold hands and sing Kumbaya by a campfire every night.
I'm not saying that, Russ, but, I mean, it's just – you got to live.
Yeah.
You know, you can't just pause everything.
I thought we talked about last week how, like, half of the guys had already had on the team had already had COVID, and that we should have a.
I mean, that is the one thing about basketball. The numbers are so much smaller than the football team.
I think only two of them have had it, guys.
Only two.
I think
and one of those
only
got
it
bad, right?
One of them was Eve Pons. He said it. Eve Pons said it. So, yeah,
well,
we can report it.
In that lengthy breakdown that Mike Schwartz gave on UTSports.com last week, he said that Drew Pember was kind of like he was like the Wanye Morris. Remember how they talked about Wanye, how he basically missed all
of coming in contact with people that were positive but never tested positive.
Yeah, and he never got to practice. And
49 days.
Yeah, that's what happened with Pember. Is like he was like 40 days. Like he was just he got contact traced like four times over the summer and just missed like all their summer conditioning and.
So Drew's summer just sucked, basically.
Pretty much.
He was quarantined.
Evidently.
Oh. I don't know. I mean, it's something to think about. These kids are really putting up with a lot to pull off these games. I mean, they're definitely going above and beyond. You know, hats off to them.
Lars says, correction, sit around the djembe drum and sing Kumbaya all night. Thank you, Rod. Lars.
Oh, my God.
That is your Rocky Top Report, brought to you by the Craigner Group. Folks, if you're looking to move in 2021, call my friend Bo Craigner over at the Craigner Group. Bro Craigner. I like that. I'm going to have to start calling him that. If you got any questions about what goes into buying a new home, he'll answer those questions for free. Give him a call anytime. 865-742-1035 is his number, and his website is boknowshouses.com. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or looking to sell an old house and move into the home of your dreams, Bo is there to help 24/7. Don't call my guy at 3 o'clock in the morning, please. That would be a bad look. Wait till in the morning, you know? 865-742-1035, and his website is boknowshouses.com. Open up the G3 Help Me Hotline. 865-546-8200 is your number. 546-8200. If you want to jump in here, UT Basketball Twitter says, given the unusual nature of the season, specifically the current unknowns related to postponed games, getting rescheduled or canceled, games getting replaced, Tennessee Athletics will determine its basketball ticket refund policy at the conclusion of the regular season. I'm not going to get mad at them about that. You know, I
have a ticket Wednesday.
Yeah, that feels kind of like piling on. I mean, you're better off. Like, I realize some people might say, oh, you know, they won't take the pay cuts, but then they want to hold on to the money. Like, they're going to try and play these games, right? So you might as well wait. I'm sure if they don't play Wednesday night's game, Drew, you'll get a refund.
I mean, it was only $20.
Yeah, but what are they supposed to do? I mean, what a hassle for those folks, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. Well, just another day in Big Orange Country. Oh man, what a year! What a year!
I just thought it was just going to be a regular crazy Monday. Now it's.
We haven't even spoken about. We have his Jeremy Pruitt's press conference. Trey, anything
everything,
interesting out of that?
Whatever, everything. But that's
okay. Everything is just
Little Carmine. That's what he is. That's what I figured out after that press conference.
He's Little Carmine from The Sopranos. Yeah. What does he mix up?
He's redneck Little Carmine.
Nah.
Yeah. Like, you didn't listen to it.
He said that here's the quote. He was talking about the offensive line play and the offense in general. He said, starting offensively, I thought it was our best performance, especially up front. I felt like we kind of dominated the line of scrimmage and created some explosive plays in the run game. I thought our backs played extremely hard. Here's the other quote, and I want y'all to hear this out. We created... And this was after Tennessee. I had said Tennessee 5.4 yards per carry for the Vols, actually. But Jeremy Pruitt said, I quote, we created some explosive plays in the throw game. We were better on third down. I thought we'd done a nice job getting into manageable third downs when we got behind the sticks. Here it is. Probably one of the biggest plays of the game, obviously, was the interception down there. We kind of dominated the drive going down through there, made a mistake, which turned into points for the other team.
I mean, he's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to try, since we've done this so many times, I'm going to try to not parse the words as much. They hit harder in the post game. Like, voluntary reaction, the past couple of games, every time we get some post game quotes, like, people scream and yell. But let's be honest about it. At the end of the day, yeah, the stuff Butch Jones said drove us all batty. But Butch Jones didn't get fired for any ridiculous comment he made. He didn't get fired for five-star hearts, or he fell on a helmet, or champions of life, or anything. He got fired because he went 4-8 this last year. It's about what happens on the field, man. Jeremy Pruitt
goes, and he completely lost his team every. I mean, he never had control of his team.
That translates into losses on the field. That's all that matters at the end of the day. I mean, Jimmy Johnson didn't have control of his team, Miami, in the 1980s, but he won, so nobody cared.
Well, I mean, there's different kinds of out of control. His were out of control in some insane ways down there at Miami, but
he was running
some
a halfway
of that locker
house.
Room stuff. Yeah. But when it came to the locker room and on the field, it wasn't out of control.
Oh, sure it was. Hey, guys, they had starting brawls, guys, drug use, women, like all the hot dog and everything. They absolutely are out of control. It doesn't matter, dude. Do you win or not?
Yeah, but they won. But he got them.
That's
he
what
got
I'm
to
saying.
Play good enough to win.
Do you win?
Yeah.
Do you win? Does Jeremy Pruitt win?
No, because he's not the real deal.
No. Doesn't win.
Jimmy Johnson's a real deal.
You know what was crazy about Saturday was that, you know, going back through the stats and everything like that, we talk about third downs a lot. Tennessee and Auburn were both 9-for-15 on third downs.
Oh, you look at the stats. I mean, he's right. We played well. But we do dumb things. We coach poorly. We play poorly. We kick poorly. We just do dumb things, man. We make catastrophic errors regularly. Stuff that for any decent team is an anomaly, something that happens maybe once a year. We do it multiple times a game. That's why we lost the other night. Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll get to these phone calls coming up next. Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Stay with us.
The Drive.
Fan Run Radio, the drive continues. Russell Bear, Trey cruising along with you on a Overreaction Monday presented by the Phone Exchange. Let's go to those phones. Taylor is up first today. Hello, Taylor.
Hey, how's it going, Russ?
Hey, it's going all right. Thanks.
So how good did it feel yesterday to watch a Tennessee team that actually has some heart and guts?
Oh, man. Tighten up. Never in doubt. So satisfying. And it's almost weird, too. If you're a Titans fan, you're watching your team fight through adversity, play good, like doing the little things. We ended last segment talking about how we do these big things to lose. We do the little things to win in Titans ball. And, like, when Derrick Henry breaks that run in overtime, it's like it's shocking because I'm so used to watching the Vols.
Yeah.
I told my buddy yesterday, he's a Baltimore fan, and I told him if we keep playing the Ravens, Henry's going to be broke from writing all these child support checks to him.
I tell you what, man. Y'all see that shot King Henry took to the chest? I remember that.
I still haven't gotten to see it.
What?
If somebody knows where it is on, like, Twitter or something.
The shot Henry took yesterday?
At me. Yeah, I listened to it on the radio. He said he got busted up underneath the chin.
It looked like he got hit right in the solar plexus, like right in the sternum. Like it was.
He said in the interview I saw that because I asked him about it, and he said he got busted in the chin.
It was like watching.
He said it was one of the hardest shots he's ever taken.
Oh, man. It was wicked, man. He, he's a warrior, man. He's tough. That was a nice way to cap an otherwise unfriendly sports weekend, Taylor.
Hey, I was going to ask you, since Prairie was talking about the dynamic pass that JG was having against Auburn, you know what play he was talking about, right?
Which one?
He was referring to the 100-plus yard pick six throw. But, I mean, it went to the other team, but who cares about small details like that?
JG, let's go. Quick show of hands around the room. We still
God,
in? Are we still in Hotel Garantano? Bear?
Do what? Are we still what now?
What's going to happen Saturday?
Oh.
If we play Vanderbilt on Saturday in Nashville, who's
you
our
know
quarterback?
What's going to happen? Turn it up.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Trey, who's the quarterback?
I'm going to say not Garantano.
Really?
Yes.
That's what, out of here, Trey.
That's what you said Saturday night, right?
Yeah, but I think you know why I'm saying it now.
COVID doesn't count.
Okay.
Contact tracing doesn't count.
I'm not talking about contact tracing. I don't think Garantano's your starting quarterback.
Oh yeah, he is, Trey. Let it breathe, Russ.
Ask me tomorrow afternoon.
Drew Nicholson, who's our quarterback Saturday?
Hotel Garantano. We ain't leaving. We're never leaving.
Immediately after the game, I kind of felt the way you did, Trey. But then the more I thought about it over the course of Volunteer Your Action, I realized. Harrison Bailey's just not ready to play. What are they going to be doing this week? They're going to be practicing. And JG's looked great in practice.
Lovely play.
Who's to say it's going to be Harrison Bailey?
Ooh.
Well, Maurer also looked phenomenal in practice as well. So,
keep going. He says,
"So incredible that he got left off the team, off that plane."
Trey says, "Keep going." He says, "He's not talking about Maurer."
Stroud,
stop.
No, he's getting stopped for Stroud.
You mean the guy that Pruitt said back in Kentucky that would never play another down Tennessee is going to be our quarterback on Saturday?
Yeah, but also the guy that traveled this past weekend while Maurer was sitting on the couch.
I love it how Pruitt just throws all these things up against the wall.
I know.
Shrouds the backup. No, actually, he's fourth team. Maurer's a non-factor. Actually, no, he's the backup. Harrison Bailey's not ready. No, actually, he is. Shrout is gone. He's got his bag packed. No, actually, he's in line to compete for the starting job this week. It's just...
Is he throwing stuff against the wall to see what sticks, or is he like a monkey?
He's throwing stuff. He throws all this stuff out there, Barrett, but at the end of the day, he keeps trotting number two out there. I mean, you are what you can talk and say you're going to do this, that, but at the end of the day, you've only got those four quarters to play with, and he's trotting JG out there. If they play Saturday, JG will be your quarterback. Guarantee it.
Well, did you not hear what he said in the press conference today regarding to JG?
No.
He said he's done a lot of really good things in the game. There's probably 3 to 4 plays in the game that he needed to be better. He understands that. You can't have unforced errors.
Oh, well, there you go.
JG's playing. He's starting. He's healthy. He's starting.
One more year, baby. One more year like in Hotel Garantano.
It was like in slow motion Saturday night. The press box is at an awkward angle where really we're in the end zone, kind of. And Jarrett just threw that pass, and it was just floating. Then all of a sudden that Auburn smoke Monday comes out of nowhere. And
come out of nowhere?
Well,
I was talking to Chance about it. I was talking to a couple of Chance, and Big Matt used to be on Get Blitzed. And Chance, they said as soon as Chance saw him, sitting in that pocket and just staring, Chance goes, he said, Chance started yelling, don't throw it. Oh, no. And then he threw it. And I mean, you can just see Smoke Monday if you go back and watch it. He's just sitting there watching. It's like saliva dripping, drools dripping out of his mouth. He knows it's coming.
Wow. Wow.
Smoke Monday. Come on, it's Auburn.
Smoke.
That's stuff that happens.
Monday. Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, portions of our show today brought to you by our friends at FanDuel Sportsbook. Did you cash in on the Tennessee bet? Oh, the week we only had to cover 100 points. I think we edged that one out. We got that one. A lot of you made some free money on that one. You could still get a risk-free bet. We got Monday Night Football tonight. If you want to get in on that, you can place your first bet on FanDuel Sportsbook risk-free up to $1,000. You'll get it all back if you don't win. No strings attached. Place any bet you want. And if you win, you keep the cash. If you lose, you get your entire bet up to $1,000 back in bonus site credit. An unbelievable offer. Check them out, the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Get it if you don't have it already. Use promo code DRIVE1 to get the risk-free bet. That's promo code DRIVE1 so they'll know we sent you. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. DR Vol, hang right there. We're coming to you next when The Drive continues on Fan Run Radio.
The Drive.
Coaching hot seat speculation. Adam Rittenberg of ESPN writes this afternoon, Vanderbilt might not be the only SEC school in the state to consider a coaching change in 2020. Tennessee, unlikely. Jeremy Pruitt, completely unnecessary two-year contract extension before the season. Tennessee would owe $12.8 million if it fires him this season, according to the News Sentinel. For the entire staff, that figure rises to $19.2 million. Of course, the Vols in a free fall. Multiple assistants declining to accept a pay reduction to offset financial losses. Here's where it gets good. Here's where it gets good. So why would Tennessee make a change now? Hugh Freeze. Rittenberg writes, several industry sources say Tennessee is the preferred landing spot for Freeze, i.e. Hugh Freeze is talking to reporters like Adam Rittenberg behind the scenes. Tennessee certainly could wait a year, see whether Pruitt improves the program in 2021, and then make a run at Freeze. But a poor finish, especially a loss this week against winless Vanderbilt or a South Carolina push for Freeze, could change the thought process. Quote, Tennessee's always in play, an industry source said. Ain't that the truth? You know what? I heard Greg McElroy, the SEC Network, in a rare moment of clarity, made a really good point yesterday. He was talking about how Kirby Smart ended up at Georgia. And folks forget why Georgia fired Mark Richt. Mark Richt went 9-3 his last year at Georgia in 2015, right? 9-3. And the reason Georgia fired him, because why would you fire your coach who goes 9-3, right? Even us crazy Tennessee fans think that's absurd. The reason they did that is because the South Carolina job was getting set to come open, and they were going to hire Kirby Smart. And Georgia knew that that was their guy. So they went ahead and did a controversial thing, which was fire a very successful coach with multiple SEC championships after he went 9-3 because they wanted to hire their favorite son, Kirby Smart. And he took them from 9-3 to 8-5 in his first year. And then he went 12-0 and came within a Hail Mary of winning the national championship his second year. And they're obviously they're Georgia. They're a really good program now under Kirby Smart. But they did what they had to do to get their guy to prevent another team, ironically enough, South Carolina. You see the parallel I'm drawing here? To get their guy. And this is what Greg McElroy said about Tennessee. He said, Tennessee is a train wreck. It's a mess. There's a lot for that, and it's a crazy year. And he said, Tennessee should not fire Jeremy Pruitt unless they want Hugh Freeze. And if that's the case, then they might as well go hire him while he's hireable instead of waiting and seeing if somebody else hires him out from under us. He said, if we don't want Freeze, then you might as well just stick with Pruitt because there's no guarantee you're going to get anything better out there. But I think we all agree on that. But I thought that was an interesting parallel between the Georgia and Kirby situation and the situation we're in now. We need to go get Hugh Freeze, guys. It's not $19 million in one lump sum. That's payable out over many years. We got a lot of boosters with a lot of deep pockets. I know they're tired of being asked to bail us out here, but like in sales, man, the most important thing, ask for the money. We got to do it. We're going to let South Carolina hire this guy? Just because we were dumb enough to give Pruitt a raise and an extension? That's on us, man. Eat it. Own it. Wear it. Take the medicine. We didn't have to do that. It's not Hugh Freeze's fault. It's nobody else's fault. It's our fault. Do what we got to do. Go get this guy. DR Vol, you're on the Drive Fan Run Radio.
Good segue, Russ. I agree. Let's just go get them. I don't care about COVID or anything like that. Luke 1:37 says, for all things are possible with God. So let's just get the man in here and let's freaking win.
Bear, are you still flimsy?
Your ball's going to get struck by lightning sooner or later.
Spineless, wishy-washy, or are you back on the Freeze train with us?
I mean, as long as you guys are going to keep being blasphemous, I'm not. That's just blasphemous.
It's been blasphemous.
A good book.
I know. I don't know. I'm not back on your all Freeze Bible pounding bandwagon.
Wow. Heathen Bear.
I'm off the bandwagon of loose, and I'm tired of looking at this idiot we got as a head coach. I know Trey did, but Russ Bear, did y'all listen to the press conference, what Jimmy Himes did?
No.
Yeah.
Okay, Bear knows what I'm talking about. So, Russ, he set him up, man. I'm not a big fan of Gumbo Himes, but, man, he did good with this. So he asked him if they taught about, you know, players being taught to fake an injury to slow down the pace. Mm-hmm. And Pruitt, you know, well, you know, we don't teach that and all this and that. Well, then Himes came back around and he said, so what was the injury to Tyler Barron? And, boy, that threw him for a loop. You need to go back and listen. It was fantastic.
Wow.
The exact quote is, I don't know that he had an injury. These guys go down all the time when asking about Tyler Barron. And he said, we don't coach that. I've been at places that that's been the norm, but we don't coach that here. But then when Jimmy came back and asked him, hey, what was wrong with Tyler? He went down pretty hard. He fell to the ground. Jeremy was like, I didn't know he was hurt.
He wasn't. Why can't this stupid gump just say he had a cramp?
That's exactly right, Bear. I thought that. He can't think on his feet.
That's all you have to do. Nobody can prove that he didn't have a cramp.
I don't know. I'm going to give Pruitt the benefit. Like, that's some classic gotcha journalism right there.
Jimmy tried.
That's
accusing Jimmy Himes of being classic gotcha journalism.
What would you call
it? Come on.
He set him up. He gave an obvious – he set him up.
I mean, say what you want about Jimmy, but he's been a damn sports journalist for the better part of 30 or 40 years now.
If you're
the head coach of Tennessee, don't go playing around with him. You got to recognize what he's getting at. You gotta have an answer. Yeah, he knew. Jimmy.
That's what I'm saying. It was gotcha journalism, and I'm not like I like Jimmy Himes just fine, but I'm saying like Pruitt. Who cares, man? It's wins and losses.
The SEC.
It's wins and losses. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
One more strike against him in my book.
It doesn't matter.
So looking forward to that basketball game Wednesday. And my doomsday scenario is what I'm worried about. We got to play that game against Vanderbilt, and we got to play the A&M game. Because I'm worried we're not going to play those games, so we're not going to – Pruitt's not going to get his losses. and then we're not going to have our basketball team, most talented team we've ever had, and then we're just stuck next year with Pruitt and JG, and I think that'll push me way, way over the edge with my fandom.
Well, you got to take it one day at a time, man. We'll see. It doesn't sound like we're going to play basketball anytime soon. We're going to play basketball eventually. They're going to find a way. They have to find a way. Otherwise, I don't know. Maybe I'll go sell houses with Bo Kregner or something. I'm getting tired of this, man. I can't do it anymore, DR Vol.
I honestly, I don't know how y'all do it, Russ. Because I do feel bad. Colin, it's constant, you know.
Oh, it's all good.
Negativity,
man.
And all that.
We love talking to you. We love talking to you guys. It's the only thing that gets us through. Go ahead.
I'll hang up after this. Vanderbilt was 11.5 underdog, and I took that. How do y'all feel about that? Them being 11.5 point underdog? I'll hang up. Listen.
Who's the 11.5 point underdog to? Us?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No, that sounds about right. That sounds about right. I know they played well.
Fire up the FanDuel app.
We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that when we continue. Hour number two of The Drive coming up.